Thank you, Miss Emma Jean. Church of the Warm Heart, good morning.
Good morning.
I am thankful that we are Church of the Warm Heart because it is snowing outside. It's still winter. It's not going to last. It's just reminding us that we live in Idaho, and here we are. My name is Michael Beneshek. I am one of your Warm Heart pastors. It's good to see each and every one of you here today. If you're joining us online, blessings wherever you may be. We pray that you find a blessing in today's service, for we are certainly blessed that you are choosing to spend some of your Sunday morning with us today. It is Communion Sunday. We'll have the elements be blessed here very soon, but if you're joining us online, have your elements ready, and we will bless them through the internet for communion a little bit later. Next week, daylight savings time, and I heard a collective groan. This is the one we have to wake up early on. So if you grew up in Central Time, this will be fine for you. But here in Mountain Time, you got to get up an hour early. If you forget, we don't forget anymore because we have the phones, right? They automatically change. But back in the day, we'd have people show up an hour early, an hour late, all everything in between. My wife, she grew up in northeast Nebraska, Catholic town, Catholic mass. The priest had this church and another church down the road. Totally forgot about daylight savings time. Well, he didn't forget. He went the wrong way on it. Instead of an hour early, he went the other. He was 2 hours late for worship. Easter, back when Easter could land on daylight savings time. And they all sat there and waited because it's Easter. And go wake him up. It's the other way. So hopefully we won't have to wake you up today. We got some guests with us today. We got some guests who were born in Washington, guests who were born in Nebraska with us today. So just to help make people feel at home, I'm just curious, how many of you were born in Idaho? Less than half. I'm just curious. I need someone to popcorn a state out. Where were you born? Nah, one at a time. Ohio, Texas, Washington, Missouri. Nebraska, go Big Red.
Michigan.
Pennsylvania. Montana.
Minnesota.
Oregon. Kansas. I should ask, what state are you not from? We're going to go through all 50. So just to make you feel at home when people say, you know, never mind, I'm going to get in trouble there. You know, we're full, like, we're all from somewhere else. That's most of us anyway. Some of you are more than two generations. Who've been Idaho three generations? Let's say three. Just a few. God bless you. Four generations. Now I'm making you do math. Five generations. Six. How far back can we go? Yeah. So God bless us. But we are here today to praise God, to follow Christ, to lift each other up, to sing, to pray, and be the faithful as best we can. So God bless you for being here. No matter where you're from, you are welcome here. Faye is our worship leader. And I'm guessing Faye's got a couple announcements.
I do. Good morning, everyone. Big blessings on you. It's wonderful to see you. Wonderful to see you. And all I can say about that darn daylight savings time, Pastor Mike, is only the government would think that you have a big blanket, you cut off one end, sew it on the other end, and you have a bigger blanket. Only the government would think that. Anyway, I'm Faye Gabriel. It is my honor and privilege to serve as your worship leader this morning for Communion Sunday on this wintry, almost spring day. I would remind you to turn off your cell phones. And for special music today during our coffee hour, you will notice on the back of your bulletin with your other announcement that we have a musical guest who will be playing for us during our coffee hour. Wow, that's just like uptown, isn't it? Wow, that's great. So please make note of all the other announcements that we have there. It really is approaching spring, and the little crocus and those little tulips and daffodils, they started coming up, and now they're shivering in the wind. You will notice. The other day, looking out the front window, I noticed that even people are getting the spring urge. I saw three joggers go by, and that inspired me to get up and close the blinds at the window. Thank you.
Let's take a moment, greet those around you in Christian love, and then remain standing for the opening hymns. Thank you.
please remain standing for our affirmation of faith. It will be on the screen. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of Christ reconciles all things to God. Amen. You may be seated.
Got a place. Awesome. We'll find you a place. Tell us. Yeah. So let's sneak through here. I'll take a hand. Can you give me a hand? Almost. Is this a hard problem to have? Like, this is good, right? This is good. Have a seat. Good to see you guys. Well, I grew up in the olden days. Olden days. Every day we'd wake up and go, oh yes, it's the olden days. What are we going to do today? And we had to make up stuff to do. We had to make up our own games. Tell me an oldie time game that we had to make up. Hopscotch. Can you believe there was a game just hopping around and picking up rocks? That's how bored we were. Hide and seek. Yeah. Marbles. I remember playing marbles. You know marbles? I know. Jacks, oh, you bouncing little balls and you pick up sharp metal things that you don't want to step on. That's how bored we were. Tiddlywinks. What are tiddlies and why are they winking? All right, close your ears. Tiddlywinks, the name came from an English pub back in the day that wasn't supposed to serve certain drinks. But if you went in and winked, they would get something from the back for you. And the place was called, anyway, Tiddlywinks. I don't know why it's a game. All right, you can open up yours. But one game, here, can you set up here for me? Awesome. One game that we played was Simon Says. Have you ever heard of Simon Says? Yeah. It's they still play it every now and then, I believe. But they still play hide and seek and tag, yeah. But Simon Says, the game went like this. Whoever was up front, if they said, Simon Says, whatever else they would say, you'd have to do. And they were just kind of little fun actions or things to do. But if they told you to do something and they didn't say Simon Says, do this and you did it and you're out. And the game would just get down until there was one person left and then they got to be the Simon. So you had to really listen for the Simon Says. Yeah. We all have fun games, don't we? I'm glad you have some that you like to play. So if I said, Simon Says, hoot like an owl, what would you all do? Should I make them play too?
Yeah.
All right. Simon Says, hoot like an owl. Ooh, good job. Simon Says, wobble like a jellyfish. Yeah. That side's wobbling, that side's a little... Simon Says, give your friend a handshake. Simon Says, tell your friend, leave me alone.
Oh, there you go.
Good job. Oh. All right, that's a good one. Look angry. Oh, I didn't say Simon Says, did I?
Oh.
Simon Says, look happy. We're the church of the warm heart. Simon Says, give your friend a goofy, happy face. Yeah. Last one. Simon Says, give yourself a big hug. Yeah, you're loved. So that's Simon. Now, a long time ago, someone once gave me a bracelet, and I looked for it in my memory box last night, and I couldn't find it. It said WWJD. WWJD. Anyone else get a bracelet like that a long time ago?
No.
No, not yet. If I was really cool, I would have had this planned out, and I would have him to pass out. WWJD. And get, do you know what that stands for? Let me ask these people out here. WWJD stands for?
What would Jesus do?
What would Jesus do? Yeah, for an award? Yeah. Wilderness, where? Yeah. It's what would Jesus do? And the idea was this. We don't have Simon to tell us what to do. But we have Jesus as our guide, as our example. So anytime I have some of those tough questions in life, I just have to ask myself, what would Jesus do? Instead of Simon Says, it would be Jesus Says. And usually it's to act more kind, to be more loving, and live life like that, because that's the best way to live, like Jesus. Can you pray with me today? Simon Says, can you pray with me today? Let's pray. God above, we give thanks for these little ones that as they grow in love and godliness, that we just cover them with care, with love, with support for them, for their families, for their communities. And Lord, just may they know that they are loved. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming down today. I think there's some Sunday school. Thanks, Malia. Usually at this time, Pastor Jen comes up and shares the pastoral prayer. Pastor Jen is not here today. I hear you all ask, where is Pastor Jen?
Where is Pastor Jen?
Pastor Jen is covering for another church whose pastor is out of town today. So we just pray for her as she practices having her own congregation, which will happen here very soon. Come July 1st, Pastor Jen is being appointed to the Southside Nampa Church, so we get her for a few more months. I only bring this up now because a couple people have asked our district superintendent the day that the announcement was made, so when are you coming back to tell us who's replacing Pastor Jen? And our district superintendent said Pastor Jen was a local hire. It was not a bishop-appointed thing. Staff Parish and the finance team, they're in talks on how or if we replace Pastor Jen with staff or with volunteers, so keep that abreast. Maybe that news will come out sometime. But it might also be an opportunity for more volunteerism and an opportunity for us to get involved in ministry. So prayers for the staff, parish, and finance as they figure that out. And prayers for Pastor Jen as she starts to embark on a new part of her ministry. This is the time in worship where we do uplift our prayers to the one who hears. I invite you to share your prayers, whether just in the heart or out loud, to the one who hears, and then we'll have a pastoral prayer and a Lord's Prayer after that. But what are the prayers of our church family today? Creator God, we pray for our world, where so many people struggle to live in peace. We pray for those who have to search every day for food or walk long distances just to get clean water. We pray for those who are being persecuted because of their faith. We remember those who have fled their homes in fear. We think of places like Ukraine, Gaza. We thank you for all the people around the world who are trying to bring about ceasefires, peace agreements. So, Lord, today our prayer is to soften hardened hearts. And loving God, we thank you for those people who sustain us by their love, kindness, and forgiveness. Thank you for the people with whom our lives are linked and who make up the fabric of our family and community life. Make us alert to each other's needs and quick to serve and encourage one another. May our gentleness with each other reflect your grace and gentleness with us. Merciful God, we pray for those who are suffering physical pain, the pain of grief, the pain of depression, the pain of mental illness. We trust in your love for all people, in your deep desire for their well-being. As we name in our hearts those who are in the grip of suffering and pain, we ask that they also might know of your comfort and healing, both now and in the days to come. As we long for the coming of spring, we also long for the warmth of your love and your kingdom here on earth, as it is reflected in the prayer we share together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
When I wrote out the sermon series, I had a different scripture in mind, but about a week ago, I came up with a different take on where I was going, and I have to apologize to Faye for the scripture she is about to read. Good luck, Faye.
And I'll try not to blush, so don't look too closely. May God be in this reading. I am reading today from 1 Samuel, the 24th chapter, verses 1 to 13, and then 16 to 22. This reminds us that God is in the human. After Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, David is in the desert of En-Gedi. So Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats. He came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. The men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.'" Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Afterward, David was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lift my hand against him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." With these words, David rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way. Then David went out of the cave and called out to Saul, "My lord the king." When Saul looked behind him, David bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. He said to Saul, "Why do you listen when men say David is bent on harming you? This day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, 'I will not lift my hand against my master, because he is the Lord's anointed.' See, my father, look at this piece of your robe in my hand. I cut off the corner of your robe, but did not kill you. Now understand and recognize that I am not guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. I have not wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me, but my hand will not touch you. As the old saying goes, from evildoers come evil deeds. So my hand will not touch you." And then at verse 16, when David finished saying this, Saul asked, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" And he wept aloud. "You are more righteous than I," he said. "You have treated me well, but I have treated you badly. You have just now told me of the good you did to me. The Lord delivered me into your hands, but you did not kill me. When a man finds his enemy, does he let him get away unharmed? May the Lord reward you well for the way you treated me today. I know that you will surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants or wipe out my name from my father's family. So David gave his oath to Saul. Then Saul returned home. But David and his men went up to the stronghold. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word for his people.
Thank you, Faye. What do you do with that? During this season, we have been examining Christian disciplines that have been used for centuries. From fasting to solitude, meditation to simplicity. I'm getting all of these from a classic book, Celebration of Discipline, by Richard Foster. This was a book that was given to us in seminary, a classic about returning to some of our faithful roots. Pastor Jen is leading a study on Monday mornings with these. And this week's subject is submission. We sang about it, perfect submission, perfect delight. Submitting yourself to the kingship of Christ, of knowing who is really in charge of our lives. Jesus had some wonderful words in this regard. You cannot serve two masters, might sound familiar. Take up your cross and follow me, blunt and to the point. Wives and husbands, submit to one another, as it says in Ephesians, out of reverence to Christ. One day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. We read in Philippians. Sounds like submission to me. But for this story, I want to take a quick look at an Old Testament story, one that you may or may not know, to see this submission thing played out. Now, the story that Faye read for us today, it's Old Testament, one of the stories of King David. This is like 1000 BC. So 1000 years before Christ is when King David roamed around. To be honest, he's not yet king yet. There is another king there, King Saul. Saul was the anointed king by God through the prophet Samuel. But because of acts that David was doing, like his fight against Goliath, David is fast becoming the public favorite over Saul. David was in the army of Saul. He was winning battles. He was gaining favor. And Saul saw that David might make a better king. And Saul was not exactly following in the ways of the Lord himself. So Saul plotted ways of killing David out of jealousy and fears that David might usurp him. How do you get rid of David? Was Saul's plan. So he tried throwing spears on two different occasions. Missed both times. David's not quite getting it. David still hung around. One of Saul's daughters was in love with David. So what do you do if your mortal enemy, your daughter loves the person that you want to kill? Like you know those family dynamics that we all have, right? So Saul devised a plan that David could marry Michal only if David would come up with 100 Philistine foreskins. Don't ask, all right? David came back with 200. And Saul can't believe that David lived. And after a while, David got the hint that maybe Saul doesn't like him very much. And he's not playing around. I'm going over a whole bunch of other stories here. Maybe someday we'll do a sermon series on the life of King David. But eventually David escapes. And he found himself in some caves where he planned his next moves. But word reached out to the neighborhood that he was there. And all who were in distress or in debt or disconnected to society, they all kind of gathered around him. He became like a Robin Hood fellow. And not a band of merry men, but a band of extremely disenfranchised men. And when you get 600 people, angry guys around you, it almost could seem like a rebellion. but they were not against Israel. Matter of fact, to go and protect the town that was being attacked by the Philistines. Well, Saul figures out where David is camped, at least the area, and Saul has one intention on his mind. It's time for the shootout at the OK Corral. We're going to end this once and for all. So David and his men, about 600 strong, like I said, they came to a place called En-Gedi. It's an oasis on the western shore of the Dead Sea, and it's like sheer cliffs going up from the sea. Made of limestone, and if you know limestone, limestone's a place where you get a lot of ravines, a lot of caves, a lot of place where erosion comes in, and it is just tailor-made for someone hiding out from the law. Well, David and his men, they found a cave large enough to hide all 600 of them. Saul knows the area where they're at, so he shows up with 3,000 men, and he tells his men, somewhere in these badlands, we're going to find them. So go look. But we get this strange little story. It just so happens that Saul needs to take a small break, small bathroom break. It's embarrassing for the king, but you know what? You do what you do. Only once have I ever had to leave a worship service because of that same issue. The only thing I knew to say was, I'm embarrassed that I have to leave, but I'll be more embarrassed if I stay. So Saul, he has his issue, and the king just doesn't go where the other soldiers go. There's a bit of modesty here. So he goes into this little cave. Saul went in to relieve himself. Again, don't ask. David and his men are far back in the cave. And Saul hears the call of nature. Little does he know that there are 600 eyes on him at this moment. And thank the heavens we don't have a picture for this, right? All right, we do have a picture for this. But a whisper spreads throughout the men. This is the moment that David's been waiting for. Here's a good test. Ask your friends what you should do the next time your enemies are in a vulnerable position. And unless your friends are very unusual, they will say, stick it to them. Get them while you got the chance. You know, for Saul, what a way to go, right? Well, that's what David's men say. Only they cover their revenge with a little bit of religious varnish. This is the day that the Lord spoke about to deliver them into your hands. They believe it's God's will for David to kill Saul. After all, Saul has been trying to kill David. Do God and us a favor and waste him away right now. But David goes a different route. While Saul was preoccupied, David crept up and cut off a corner of his robe. Maybe the robe was off and lying close by. Who knows? But when Saul puts back on his robe, he's going to be wearing either. I don't know if it's a little corner. I don't know if it's going to be a mini skirt now. Whatever it's going to be. But David was conscience stricken for having cut a corner of his robe, and he gives the explanation: "The Lord forbid that I do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lift my hand against him." It was wrong because it made the king look bad. It was wrong because it showed a lack of respect. It was wrong because it's not David's place to get even. It's wrong because Saul was still the Lord's anointed. Spiritual vandalism here. David feels bad because maybe he shouldn't have done it. His men are mad because they wanted him to kill Saul. Meanwhile, Saul leaves, rejoins his men, doesn't have a clue anything weird happened, and David calls out to him from the cave. Saul, I could have had you. Look, I got some of your clothing. I could have just as well stabbed you. But I showed mercy. Stop the chase. Leave me alone. Saul realizes that he put himself into checkmate, and David realizes that David truly doesn't want to harm him. And you heard the end of the story. Saul goes home, and David went up to a stronghold. The most important fact of the whole story is that David refused to kill Saul even when he had the golden opportunity. Why? Why? We all submit ourselves to something, to some rules, to some code of ethics, whether it be our own inner child or whether it's something greater than us. David did not want to seek revenge because he did not want to descend to Saul's level. They even quote an old saying. So if it's an old saying in 1000 BC, it's got to be an old saying, right? From evildoers come evil deeds, so my hand will not touch you. Might sound like something your mom might say, right? If David was saying, if I attack him, I'm only sinking to his level. My grandma used to say it this way, and I don't know if you've heard this, but how did grandma say it? Never wrestle with a pig. Anyone ever hear that one? All right, my grandma's not just crazy. All right, the pig likes it, and you only get dirty, right? The saddest part about trying to get even is it makes you a perpetual victim of the person you hate. You know, revenge makes you go through that same hurt over and over and over again. When you give into temptation to get even, your enemies have won twice. When they hurt you the first time, and when you carry that burden for years to come. So the question that I have this morning is this: to what did David submit himself to? If God is king, then follow God. He does not kill him because God does not want him to kill him. It's as simple as that, really. We all follow something. If Christ is king of your life, would Christ recognize you as one of his subjects? That's one of my fears. I say I follow Christ, and yet sometimes my life is not exactly Christ-like. Can I hear a gasp? I know. Is my wife here today? All right, I'll skip that story then. Real quick, here's some practical suggestions to tell us who's king in our lives. Number one, just watch your words. Words lead to actions. Actions lead to character. Character, and on and on and on. Do you ever say something that you regret later? Yeah. I did 5 seconds ago, right? Yeah. Under pressure, we may blurt out something that ends friendships. Or we may escalate the problem until it blows up in front of us. You know, we regret things we say. We never regret, hardly, things we never say. Proverbs 10 says it like this: a person who talks too much gets into trouble. A wise person learns to be quiet. Another thing we could do is focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. WWJD, right? Those are bracelets. We are called to be like our master who, when reviled not again. When he was cursed, did not curse back. When he was abused, did not repay in kind. When he was mocked, he did not retaliate. When he hung between two thieves, no, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Pray for those who killed him. Of all people, he had a right to seek revenge, but he chose the way of love and peace. This is where I have a hard time. This past week, the state of Idaho had a botched execution. Someone asked me, Pastor Mike, what is the official United Methodist Church's stance on the death penalty? And I said, the official stance, now these are in our social principles, we all don't agree, but this is just a vote of United Methodists, is that we're against it. We favor life in prison instead. And I struggle with that a little bit. If anyone deserves the death penalty, we can certainly come up with a small list, right? There are some people I don't want in this world with my kids. But it's really hard to stand on the high moral ground and talk about the sanctity of life when I have a hit list in my own pocket. Lord, if you're going to take anybody, I got a small list for you. It sounds weird when I tell my kids that we kill people to show people that killing people is wrong. So I don't know how you struggle with that, how you reconcile with that, but then I got to remember, all right, well, what would Jesus do? And I think I know the answer. And it's hard. And I wrestle with that. We have some people in our congregation that do wonderful work in prison ministry. God bless y'all. That's tough. That's tough work. Everyone can be redeemed if they just but ask. Last one, just lay your burdens down. Sooner or later, you have to stop fighting the battle. Sooner or later, you have to. If you submit yourself to Christ, you don't have to carry a lot of burdens. How many times do I go up to the altar and I lay my burdens down as the choir sings? I lay down all my guilt, all my embarrassment, all the stupid stuff I say every now and then. And then after worship, I pick them back up and I walk out with them. Leave them there. Leave them there. Past wounds and hurts and pains can still inflict their venom because we let it. In the end, the desire for revenge and ill will hurts you more than it hurts anyone else. I heard someone once say, let's see if I got the quote, resentment is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. I know Carrie Fisher said it, but I think someone said it before her as well. Some of us are walking around with a heavy load of bitterness, frustration. Maybe you find it easy to get angry with someone for what they've done for you. Maybe it's time to let it go. In the end, David got to be king because he followed the true king. He took the high road. What I learned from the story is this. If David would have killed Saul, he would have justified someone else killing him later on. Revenge is a cycle of death. Mercy and forgiveness leads to life. Which way do you want to go? Submit yourself to the King of mercy and forgiveness, and you will find life. And the family of God said, amen. As we come time to the Lord's table, just know all are welcome here. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how many times, we're all worthy of a little bit of grace in our lives. Like I said, God bless those who do prison ministry and care for those that some of us would care to forget. We're all made in the image of God. In 26 years of ministry, I've even done 2 weddings at different prison facilities. If you can believe that, I have another one coming up at the Ada County Courthouse. Everyone deserves a little bit of love. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus gave thanks for the bread and he broke it. And he said, take and eat, all of you. This is my body shed for you. And after the meal, he took the cup and he poured out the fruit of the vine and he said, take and drink, all of you. For the forgiveness of sins, do this in my name. The table is set. Please come forward.
place where God, my Savior, shows His face. And gladly take my station there and wait for the sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to Him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since He bids me seek His face, believe His words and trust His grace, I'll cast on Him my every care and wait for the sweet hour of prayer.
And please share in our prayer. God of all wisdom, as we bring our gifts to be dedicated this morning, we pray that You might open our ears, open our hearts to hear where You call us, and respond with trust and courage, so that we might find healing in our lives, our families, and our world. May these gifts bring healing to Your creation. In Christ we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn you'll find in 605 in the hymnal. It's also on the screen. Wash, O God, our sons and daughters, about baptism, communion, and submitting ourselves to Christ.
Thank you.
I pray that you will join us for our coffee hour, which is in the building right across the alleyway here, just through these doors to the left. It is Birthday Sunday, the first Sunday of the month. How many March birthdays do we have? Happy birthday to you. You have a special table over there as well. We also have a special guest musician, so please enjoy that, and we're blessed to have her with us here today. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord be kind to you. May the Lord walk with you, that in this third Sunday of Lent, may God's blessings, peace, and love go with you all. Amen.